I want to thank Almighty Yahweh for this opportunity to come together with the brethren in Missouri. The last time I was here, I heard the Avalos family. And I was so moved. And I prayed that when I came back to Missouri, I would get to hear the Avalos family. And Yahweh answered my prayer. And I'm telling you, it just moves me. Your family, just Yahweh's spirit is evident in everything you do, all of your songs. And I thank Yahweh for you. The message is entitled, Yahweh's Abundant Blessings. Almighty Yahweh has blessed us abundantly. When we come into the knowledge of Yahweh, it changes us from foreigners to his people. This transition is based on our seeking the kingdom of Yahweh that makes us different from all the people of the world. Right now, we have some slides that are being shown of some of my trips in Africa. We have 3 points I want to bring out. One of the things we want to do, the first point is pray for the work. And point number 2 is give thanks to Yahweh. And point number 3 is receive the blessings of Yahweh. This is the Lemuru Assembly, which is our headquarters assembly in Kenya. We have quite a few assemblies in Kenya, as well as Malawi and Uganda. Uganda being the newest assemblies added to YPTC, as well as Yahweh's. This is the newest assembly in Kenya. And this assembly is near Kabarak in Bomet. Bomet is a big area. And this man here is the father. His name is Langit. And there's a lot of Langits there in Bomet. He has 10 children. Wow. Okay. And of course, not all of them are there or represented or their families. But this is the core of the group there, and they are zealous for Yahweh. They are very zealous. And when we were there, we stayed at his home, had services there, and we were there for a few days. But Yahweh blesses the work, and his blessings are very evident in the faces and the lives of each of his people. I want to open up the message in Matthew chapter 5. If you'll turn in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 1. In Matthew 5, 1, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." See, most of the world is teaching that people are going to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that, nor can you confirm it by the Bible. Yahshua said in John chapter 3 that no man has gone to heaven except him who came from heaven, which is Yahshua himself. Verse 6, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." These brethren that you see on this PowerPoint, they are hungering and thirsting. See, they're sitting there. They start services in the morning around 9, and then they go until dark, praising Yahweh all Sabbath. They break for lunch. They do have lunch. They go out, lay in the grass, whatever. But you can see this picture. They're listening to the teaching. They're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. We want to see Yahweh, brethren. And this is something that we're dedicated in doing. And Yahweh is asking us to come to him. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those who are chosen are the ones that are doing the choosing. You choose to be Yahweh's blessing. You choose to be his people. You understand? People walk away from the truth for a lot of different reasons. But we that want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh make the choice to be there. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of Elohim. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. We've had a lot of evil spoken of YPTC by people in Africa. We've had people, you know, condemning us because of our ministry. Yet, we've pushed forward, not only with the help of YAIY, and one of the things Elder Brett didn't mention is that we have elders, they have elders, like Elder Eddie Tadia in the Philippines, who helps us. We have a couple congregations there that he has went to teach and to baptize. So the work goes both ways, you know. We're working with them, they're working with us. Same thing in India. You know, the work of Yahweh is not a one-man job. This work encompasses each and every one of us that love Yahweh. One of the things, this is a picture of the Feast of Tabernacles in Bomet, which is Nasaduri. Now, our elder there is Elder Julius Rono. Elder Julius Rono started out walking with his guitar from town to town preaching the word of Yahweh. This young man is so dedicated to Yahweh that he would go over the whole area of Bomet, which is probably about the state of Texas almost. It's not as big as Texas, but it's close, okay? You know how big Texas is? You can drive across Texas, what, in a day? You know, it's a long way. But what I'm saying is he would walk from town to town preaching and teaching in the name of Yahweh. And this is the fruit. And this is, like I said, just one of the congregations. I mean, it's a couple congregations come together to keep the feast, but in that area. So if everybody would come together in Kenya, you would have to have a real big place to keep the feast. But because they're really poor, a lot of them can't make it from Kisii to Bomet or from Dandora or some of the other areas. But what happens is that we're trying to get them all to come together to serve Yahweh and to keep the feast, a unified feast. But they did the last feast last year in Lemuru, which was the headquarters, which is kind of still far for them and even further for the brethren from Kisii. So we didn't get a lot of people at that particular feast. But we're working on it too. And I told them it would probably be better for everybody to come together in Bomet since it's more centrally located. But what I want you to see here is that verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, with what shall it be salted? It is from then on good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And if we're doing Yahweh's work, our light is going to shine. You're going to see the spirit of Yahweh moving amongst the lives of the people. See, these are Yahweh's abundant blessings. You are a part of his abundant blessings. All of you who have come to Yahweh, to know Yahweh, to live and work in that spirit, in the unity of the spirit. Even so, let your light shine before men that you may see you, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Turn over to Ruth chapter 1. And Ruth 1, and we have a picture. It's just perfect the way Yahweh works. We have a picture of the women in Kenya doing an offering, an offering of praise before Yahweh. Now, Ruth was one of Yahweh's abundant blessings in that, I'm going to start in Ruth 1 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in the days when the judges judged that there was a famine in the land." And we know the scriptures tell us there will be a famine in the last days of hearing the word of Yahweh. But here, this is a famine of bread, food, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Okay? And I want you to keep that. Judah means one who praises Yahweh. Now, it's important that we understand that the Jews today don't praise Yahweh. They don't use Yahweh's name. We're praising Yahweh. We use Yahweh's name because he says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Yahshua won't return until people are saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." So if the Jews don't use the name, how can the Messiah come? You understand? It's important that we proclaim the name throughout all the world. And this is what's going on there in Africa. You see a picture here of a baptism. And we're doing a lot of baptisms in Africa. See, so when the Spirit has gone forth, the word is out there, you see the responses. You see people coming to Yahweh. And this is what he wants. He wants people to come to him. So here, it says, "This certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab." Now, the name Moab is named after the children of Lot. It means from father. Av is father. Moab, from father. Because they were from Lot with his daughters. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, and the woman was left without her two children and her husband. So Naomi, who had left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab, now just has left two daughters-in-law. Then she arose in verse 6 with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how Yahweh had visited his people in giving them bread. See, Yahweh has visited us in giving us bread. He gave us the bread from heaven, Yahshua the Messiah. But the world doesn't want to hear about it. They don't want Yahshua in their life. They don't want him to rule over them. You understand? But he's the heir. He's the son. And the world has to know about the son. So our job is to take this message to the world so that they can hear, and this is Berea, and that you heard of the noble Bereans in the Bible. This congregation is in Beaumet too. This was the newest congregation, not before the other new congregation I talked about. At night, we had services there, and there were like 100 people there. This is during the day. A lot of the people had to go to work, so I think we have about 30 people here. But like I said, every night we had about 100 people coming right there under that structure, and each of these are benches, I mean, for the people to sit on. It goes back quite a few rows. But they were sitting on the ground behind that as well. See, they have a thirst for Yahweh. They want to hear the word, and when they knew that we were coming, they showed up. It wasn't advertised in the newspaper. They showed up, word of mouth. They heard there's an elder coming, elders actually, because myself and Elder Quincy from Trinidad, Quincy George, went with me, and we did this traveling there. Now, this place is up a mountain. Then you got to go down the mountain on the other side to where they are. And from there, when we went to baptize, it was another half mile down to the river. So we did a lot of walking. I know Willie McKelvey, which I know Marilyn remembers, went with me first there. And he did that walking. He had just had two knee replacements a few years before, and it was hard, but he did it. And I'm telling you, he loved it. And the people of Africa love him as well. So it was a wonderful trip. But we see the fruit coming out of Africa. There's a lot of brethren there who are seeking the kingdom of Yahweh. And see, we want to do our jobs, our part here, to make that happen. Now, back to Ruth. It says here, Yahweh had visited his people in giving them bread. And she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May Yahweh deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May Yahweh grant you that you find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will return with you to your people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb?" They had deliberate marriage where, you know, the younger son would then marry the one that lost the husband, so he could raise up seed for the dead. And Naomi's saying, "I'm too old to have a husband, so that's not going to happen." But see, it goes beyond that. And this is why the word of Yahweh is so wonderful. "Turn again, my daughter," verse 12, "my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you stay from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me much for your sakes, for the hand of Yahweh has gone forth against me." Naomi had looked at this from a defeatist point of view because she was hurting. She had lost her husband, and now she lost her two sons. So she didn't see hope for grandchildren. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." She wouldn't let her go. She saw something even deeper than Naomi saw. "And she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her Elohim, her mighty one. Return after your sister-in-law.' And Ruth said, 'Do not ask me to leave you and to return from following after you, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your Elohim, my Elohim. Ruth got it. She made the decision to serve Yahweh because she saw something Naomi didn't see. She says, and where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May Yahweh do so to me and more also, if anything but death part you and me. And when she saw that she had strengthened herself to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. She stopped trying to convince her to stay. But Ruth, when you read the rest of it, you find that Yahweh, Ruth was one of Yahweh's abundant blessings for Israel as well. Not just to herself or to Naomi, but to Boaz and to all Israel. Here we have a picture in Kisi. Kisi is far from Nairobi. It's one of the furthest out. It's not far from Lake Victoria. They have land up in that area, but you have several tribes in Africa and Kenya. You have 42 different tribes, and Kisi is a good-sized tribe. Most of the leaders are from three tribes altogether, and the Kalenjin is one of the major tribes. But the Kisi, you hear, have a meeting hall. That's the first meeting hall that we built there, and it has a scripture on it. One of the sisters, Sister Walker, donated the funds to help build that building, and therefore she put a scripture on it, and they did it. It was dedicated, and you can see there was so many people there that day that we were there that they sat out on the side of the hill and then down in front on the side of the meeting hall because it was too many people to fit in. And Yahweh is blessing this work there. And the thing is, as we seek to help the ministry grow, and like I said, we get a lot of help from YAIY in the African ministry, we look at how Yahweh has touched the lives of each of these people. Like I said, you only see half the picture, but these people seated on the seats in front of the people presenting, and those are the ones you see on the side of the hill. But it's a lot of interest there in Africa. And one of the people or that I want to speak about it is our bishop there. His name is Peter Mamera. And Peter Mamera is dynamic young man. And I say young because when I first met him, it was quite a few years ago, and he was very young. He used to be the assistant of our former leader over there and took care of the finances. But he stepped in his shoes when that leader left and took the reins and just started to do Yahweh's work. This man travels all over Africa and will go anywhere that Yahweh sends him to do his work. He has a family, he has a couple sons, but he's so dedicated. He's gone through a lot of personal trials in his life, but his thing is that he loves Yahweh so much, nothing will get in the way of him doing the work. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, now when Yahshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, this is what's going on in the world today. They know Yahshua's coming, and they're troubled. They don't want Yahshua to come. This is why they want to stand in front and stop the work, the governments of this world, as well as a lot of other entities. We know those entities are of spiritual nature. But Yahweh has given us the victory over those principalities. They're subject to his people. See, we just have to understand and know, and this is one of the things that why I'm bringing up Peter Mamre. The young man knows. He uses it. He goes forth casting out demons. He heals people with the word of Yahweh. See, because Yahweh has given us that ability. He's given us that power. We have that through the Holy Spirit. Are we using it today? You understand? People should be, this place should be packed full because the word of Yahweh has gone forth. And those who need to be healed should be here to receive the healing. See, I have some anointing oil. I'm sure David does. And we can pray in the name of Yahweh and heal those who need a healing. This is the word of Yahweh. Yahweh has given it to us in his word, right? The question is, do we have faith? Do we believe enough to bring it to pass? I've seen it happen in Africa. I don't see it happening enough in America. What's the difference? See, Yahweh's abundant blessings are here. And we can do the same thing that we do anywhere in the world right here in the U.S. But the problem is belief. We have to believe. When they came to Yahshua and he healed, he says, your faith has made you whole. And the one man came, he asked Yahshua to help his unbelief so that his child could be healed. And we can do the same today if we need that healing. These people, that's still Berea in the picture, and they are rejoicing because, like I said, we came down the hill about a half mile to the edge of the river there, and they're baptizing. I think we baptized 6 that day. But Yahweh is working. And we need to do more of that here in the United States. Turn over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4, in verse 1, it says, hear the word of Yahweh, you children of Israel, for Yahweh has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth nor goodness nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. There is nothing but swearing, and there is breaking faith and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood touches blood. We see a lot of that going on in the cities here in the United States. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells in it shall languish. See, these healings that I'm talking about need to happen here in the United States. The murder rate should be non-existent because we're praying for the people. And this is where, when we pray for the work, we're praying for America and the people here. Now, we have our newest elder, Elder Samuel Bakunda, who is in Uganda. And what happens here is that this is a picture of Uganda and the brethren there. He's not in it, I don't think, at this point. Maybe in the next slide, he's there. Oh, no, that's Malawi there. Okay, well, we'll get to that one next. Can we go back? All right. But the reason I'm bringing out Samuel, when he first contacted YAYY, he was sent to us, and he was told we have a bishop and in Kenya. Samuel said he wants to be baptized. Samuel came from Uganda to Kenya. Not once, not twice, but three times. Because he wanted to know the truth, and he wanted to get baptized. And he did. He's a very dedicated servant of Yahweh. He is one of Yahweh's abundant blessings, because not only did he come and get the knowledge, then we went to Uganda and not only started one assembly, started a second assembly. He has five different assemblies there now. And we're talking about in about a year. And Yahweh is blessing the work, it's growing. Now, his dedication has a lot to do with that. Yahweh is the one that sends these people. And what we do is we try to facilitate and help them with the things that they have need of. But what I want you to see here in Hosea chapter 4, it says, verse 4, "Yet let no man quarrel, neither let any man reprove, for your people are as they that quarrel with the priest." And that's what's going on here. You have a lot of opposition to the word of Yahweh. But the brethren over there, their hearts are open. I'm not saying that there are not some over there that have a problem with the word, especially if they're Catholic or they have some other religion. But even a lot of them are coming to Yahweh because they know they're hearing. Some of the meetings that Samuel will hold, there are people from all different religions there. And they might be trying to, you know, heckle him or whatever. But he continues to preach and teach the word. Verse 5 says, "And you shall stumble in the day, and the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother." Now, Hosea, this message is being taken to Israel. Hosea means salvation. Yahweh is offering salvation to his people. He says in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your Elohim. I also will forget your children. As they were multiplied, so they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and set their heart on their sin," on iniquity. And that's what the world is all about right now. If you think about it, that's all they want to do, have fun. They want to sin. They're not dedicated to seeing the kingdom of Yahweh come. But we see a lot of this in Africa because they don't have our cable TV. We saw that in the Caribbean. They were full of fire, and there's still some who love Yahweh. I'm not saying that everybody in the Caribbean has been corrupted, but it was a lot more dedicated before they got American cable TV. I'll put it like that, okay? It has an effect. Now, if you have it, I mean, a lot of people do without it, but what I'm saying is it takes people away from Yahweh, the ones that allow it to. You don't have to let it do it. Your dedication is what you need to get you to the kingdom of Yahweh, regardless of what's there before you. You can push anything aside. Yahweh has to be first. And this is why I like the brethren there. They, though they may not have much, are very dedicated. You see, this is in Pasa, in Malawi. We have two assemblies in Gunda. I think we have a picture of Gunda. That's Matundai. We have like, I think in that area we probably have about, we had nine, but we have seven assemblies right now in that area of Malawi. Then we have Machinji, which is up in the north, beyond the Longwe, and then we have an assembly at Blantyre, which is the main assembly that started there. And another one that just started in, I can't even pronounce the name of it, it's where our elder lives. I think it's, oh, it'll come to me. But it's a small area. But as you can see, the work is there. It's a lot of work. But back in the scripture, it says, verse 8, they feed on the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and will requite them their doings. And they shall eat and not have enough. They shall play the harlot and shall not increase because they have left off taking heed to Yahweh. Now, we can't stop taking heed to Yahweh because we know the truth. We keep the feast days, and this is some of the things that we're teaching over there that the people never heard of before because they were taught by the priest that came in and told them, you know, you can take your practices and still become a Catholic. You don't have to really change much except you join in our worship. So, you know, they even kept the names of their mighty ones, which was strange. How can you worship a pagan mighty one if you have the truth? And see, they see the difference because our doctrines are totally different. Now, this primary school here, that's a Feast of Unleavened Bread meeting. And you see it's full. It's full. And you'll see also the majority of them don't have shoes, but we, a lot of the brethren put together and sent aid over to help. And a lot of them prefer not to have shoes, but they bought a lot of shoes, my wife and some of the other brethren, for the children over there. Now, you can't change a lot of people's culture. You understand? But what you can change is the desire for the kingdom, showing them the love you have. Now, your dedication, say Chris decides to come go with me to Africa one day. When Chris comes back, Chris is not going to be the same person. You understand? Because he's going to be changed by the brethren. He's changed by the brethren. I'm telling you, I was changed by the brethren. And I wish all of the young people, and I say young people, can go over and spend about 6 months. They will have a great appreciation for America when they get back. They won't be as spoiled. They won't be, yeah, their attitude will be different, I'm telling you. Because they'll see how many people do with so little. You see those bikes? That's what they get around on. One of our elders had to go to Gunda, and this is this is actually like on the outskirts of Gunda, and he had to ride for 5 hours on that bicycle to get to where he was going. And this is why I talk about him so much. Our bishop, he's dedicated to Yahweh. I'm gonna tell you, I would have a hard time riding for 5 hours on a bike. I have a hard time riding for half an hour on a bike. But he did it for Yahweh. And this is why, you know, I'm promoting him to you, because his love for Yahweh is there. And this is the kind of dedication we need. Turn over to Jacob chapter 5. James, and yes, I should have said James, because certain Bibles, in Hebrew it's Yaakov. King James changed it to James because he was, you know, wanted in his name. Verse 1 says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are rusted. And their rust shall be for a testimony against you, and shall eat your flesh as fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Now, we're in the last days, brethren. I want you to see that from the word, because the things that the word talks about are happening today. We see it firsthand. Verse 4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is by you kept back by fraud, cries out, and the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of Yahweh Sabaoth. You have lived delicately on the earth and taken your pleasure. You have nourished your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have killed the righteous. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master, which we know is soon. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Now, that rain is happening. That's Elder Hizzy there on the right from Vumbe. That's the newest assembly there. And he's the one that lives in Vumbe doing the baptizing. Now, he says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master, which is soon. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. This fruit, as you can see, the baptism is coming. Yahweh is sending more and more people who have a hope of the kingdom. They want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. You also be patient in verse 8. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Master is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge stands before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and the patience, the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh, what they had to go through. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of Yahweh, how that Yahweh is full of pity and mercy. Drop down to verse 17. It says, Eliah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. During the time of the tribulation, it's not going to rain for 3 years and 6 months. Same thing. And that's coming soon, brethren. So prayer has power. This is why we have to pray for one another and pray for the ministry. Pray that these brethren here who are being baptized will enter in. That's the bishop. His name is Peter Mamera. Very humble man. And he's doing the work of Yahweh. And we have to give them the aid and the help necessary to bring this to pass. Because when Eliah did his thing, Yahweh heard his prayer. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So Yahweh hears the prayers of the righteous. Those are the first fruits. Now I'm going to have to step away from the camera real quick. This is Elder Samuel Bakunda. This is the bishop. This is Elder Edward from Lemuru in Kenya. And these others are the ones that were baptized, the first fruits of Uganda. Almighty Yahweh is blessing the fruit of the earth. He's blessing each one of us with his abundant blessings. Now, turn over to Psalm 136. He wants us to give thanks, because when we give thanks to Yahweh, we receive of his blessings. And I want to give thanks to Yahweh for this ministry. I want to give thanks to Yahweh for the brethren throughout this world who are doing his will and doing his work. And Psalm 136, it says, oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. Oh, give thanks to Elohim of Elohim, for his loving kindness endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the sovereign of rulers, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him that by understanding made the heavens, for his loving kindness endures forever. To him that spread forth the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness endures forever. Now you read the rest of them at your leisure, but drop down to verse 26. Oh, give thanks to the El of heaven, for his loving kindness endures forever. Truly, Almighty Yahweh has given his people the blessings of the earth. What are we doing with those blessings? See, I know we take too many things for granted when it comes to what Yahweh has done in each and every one of our lives. His blessings are always there. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is by David. But I want you to see something. I want you to read it again. Put it in your notes. I want you to read this at your leisure. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I want to go through a part of this because I want you to see Yahweh's abundant blessings in his word. In verse 1, and they brought in the ark of Elohim and set it in the middle of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Elohim. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. See, too many people take the name of Yahweh for granted. We don't. We know that the name of Yahweh is right. It's what we need to get this job done. Here you have a picture of the people in one of the newest congregations in Uganda, and that they're on the shores of Lake Victoria, and we're baptizing another 9 people that day. As a matter of fact, I'm out there in the water baptizing along with the bishop. I got wet that day, but it's okay. I don't mind doing that for Yahweh because this is his work. You understand? This is Yahweh's abundant blessings right here on the earth. And these people are going to be added. See, he has a certain number he needs before Yahshua returns. And when that last person is baptized, Yahshua is going to return. So, and the kingdom of Yahweh will be set up. There's going to be a little time difference there. I don't want you to think it's going to be immediate. Because when that last person is sealed, you have the tribulation, which is 3.5 years before these things culminate. So there's a little bit of intrigue there. But what I want you to understand is that what David did here, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. In verse 3, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread. I want you to understand that this bread represents what? Yahshua the Messiah. The bread of heaven. Now, he was doing it on a physical level, temporal. But this is a spiritual bread that we have to receive for us to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. We have to have that spiritual bread. This is why we keep the Passover memorial, to renew the emblems every year. But that bread, remember, Israel had manna every day in the wilderness. Our bread is spiritual. It's a lot tastier. It's a lot better than that bread that they had in the wilderness because we have Yahshua the Messiah, and we can have this bread every day, not you know, the physical. I'm talking about spiritual here. Yahshua is our spiritual bread. He is our Bethlehem, Judah. Now, Drop down to verse 11. Well, verse 10. Verse 8. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name. Make known his doings among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. You can't sing praises without knowing his name. You understand? You got to know who you're singing to. Talk you of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Now again, read the rest of this. I want to drop down to the end here. Verse 30, tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And let them say, among the nations, Yahweh reigns. Because truly he does. Let the sea roar in the fullness of it. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then shall the trees of the woods sing for joy before Yahweh. For he comes to judge the earth. And he is coming soon, brethren. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. And say, save us, O Elohim of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting, and all the people said amen and praise Yahweh. We want to be among those people who are praising Yahweh. We want to be among those people who are a blessing to Almighty Yahweh. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 30. As we wind this message down, I want to touch on a few points, because one of the things I want you to understand is that if we pray for the work and give thanks to Yahweh, we're going to receive the blessings of Yahweh. As I said, these brethren over there that are being taught, that are being brought into Yahweh's covenant, are his abundant blessing. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 18, it says, in this manner says Yahweh, behold, I will turn again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have compassion on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon its own hill, and the palace shall be inhabited after its own manner. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. See, because once we bring in more and more of the brethren from Africa, you're going to see this ministry grow by leaps and bounds. Verse 20, their children also shall be as before time, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, and their prince shall be of themselves, and their ruler shall proceed from the middle of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach to me. But who is he that has boldness to approach to me, says Yahweh? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. He wants each and every one of us to be his people, which means we have to be dedicated. Verse 23, behold, the tempest of Yahweh, even his wrath, has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he has executed, till he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it. Where are we today, brethren? We're in the latter days. It's telling us that we're going to understand the word of Yahweh. We're going to understand what Yahweh's will is for the people. Now, I want you to continue in Jeremiah 31, because it says, this is one of my favorites, at that time. It's a time stamp. What time? The latter days. I have an arrow drawn from at that time to the latter days. Says Yahweh,
I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. In this manner, says Yahweh, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yahweh cares for us, brethren. He also cares for the brethren in Matindi, which is in Malawi. He cares for the brethren throughout the world. You understand? But we have to go forth. That's what he tells us in Matthew 28:18-20. He tells us, go forth into all the world and baptize. Right? That's the Great Commission. These are the brethren from Gunda, which is another one of the sections in Malawi. I'm telling you, the word of Yahweh is going forth with power and authority. And the brethren are coming in. Brother Kamanja teaching the word of Yahweh to these children in Mpasa, which is another assembly there. Yahweh is working in the lives of his people. He says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again will I build you, and you shall be built, O virgin of Israel. Again you shall be adorned with your tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Again you shall plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall enjoy the fruit of it. Before they planted, and another took the fruit, because they were cursed. But now Yahweh is going to bless his people. And he's going to allow them to enjoy the fruits of their labor, as we can do in these last days. Verse 6, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon the hills of Ephraim shall cry, arise. See, your song is even being mentioned here. Arise. And the hills of, and let us go up to Zion to Yahweh our Elohim. For thus says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout for the chief of the nations. Publish praise and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Now, we have to make ourselves a part of Israel. You understand? Spiritual Israel to be Yahweh's people. We can't oppose Israel and say that we're Yahweh's people. We have to receive the blessings of Yahweh. In Isaiah chapter 41, and I'm just going to paraphrase because we're at the end. But I want you to read it, write it down in your notes, Isaiah 41, verses 1 to 20. But I want to paraphrase this because I want you to get the point. I'll start in verse 1. It says, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who has raised up one from the east, whom he calls in righteousness to his foot? Now, here you have a picture of Blantyre where there was a devastating storm that tore this woman's house down. What happened? Yes. We sent aid to help them. And you see, because they lost all their food as well as their homes. The government sent some food, but not enough, and tents for them to live in. But it shows you the relief items that were distributed to the brethren who are affected by the persistent heavy rain in the Blantyre Assembly. Now, the Blantyre Assembly is the headquarters assembly there in Malawi. We have quite a few assemblies. But we took care of them because that's what Yahweh does. Just like if we have a catastrophe here, you know, you get the Red Cross, you get some of the other agencies to come out. But the brethren are supposed to take care of one another. And this is what we did over there. We tried to make sure that we were meeting their needs. See, because if it was happening to us and they had the wherewithal to help us, we would expect them to do so. Am I correct? Yes, because we have to look out for one another. Now, he gives the nations before him and makes him rule over kings. He gives them as the dust to the sword, as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, even by a way that he has not gone with his feet. Who has worked and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first, and with the last, I am he.
It's Yahweh that gives us, and this is the last I want the slide I want to show you, because see these beautiful people, these children? That's the future. That's the kingdom of Yahweh. That's who inherits the kingdom of Yahweh. Flesh and blood, anybody over the age of 20, age of accountability, when this tribulation is over, when Yahshua returns, for that 1,000-year millennium, that's who's going to be there, the children. But they have to be taught. They have to be directed. You have 144,000 who are going to have those jobs, who are going to be priests and kings in the kingdom of Yahweh to teach all these children during that time. Because those children are going to come from a lot of nations that don't know Yahweh. And how are they going to get to know Yahweh? They have to have someone teach them. This is why we need to learn this inside and out. We need to know the word of Yahweh, because we're going to be teaching those that are a part of that 144,000. Now, in verse 8, it says, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth and called from the corners of it, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you, not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They that quarrel with you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with you. They that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of nothing. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help you, says Yahweh. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." Read the rest of the passage. But I want to close over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We normally use this during our offering sermons at times, but chapter 8 is about giving in 2 Corinthians, and 9 is about sowing. In verse 1 it says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your readiness, of which I glory on your behalf to them of Macedonia." Macedonia is another name for Greece. "And that Achaia has been prepared for the last past year, and your zeal has stirred up very many of them. But I have sent the brethren, that our glorying on your behalf may not be made void in this respect, that even as I said, you may be prepared, lest by any means, if there come with me any of Macedonia and find you unprepared, we, that we say not you, should be put to shame in this confidence. I thought it necessary, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go up before you and make up beforehand your previously promised bounty, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of extortion. But I say, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And Yahweh is able to make all grace abound to you. And I'm telling you, he can. He'll make a way out of no way. People find themselves in some tough situations at times. And then they get on their knees and they pray. And Yahweh opens the door. He answers their prayers. And I know you've been there. I've been there. And I'm telling you, he's been there for all the brethren. He's been there. Sometimes we have to be the ones that help, and sometimes we're the ones that are in need. But Yahweh is going to be there for each and every one of us. Because those that I've shown you, as well as you who are sitting here today, are Yahweh's abundant blessings. We have a job to do, to go out into all the world and make sure the world hears this message and knows that Yahweh is coming. He's sending his son, Yahshua the Messiah, back to this earth. In verse 9 it says, as it is written, he has scattered abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And we want our righteousness increased, brethren. We want it increased every day. So therefore, what we need to do is get on our knees and pray on a regular basis for the work, for the ministry, for each other. See, we didn't read the prayer list today. I mean, Elder Brett said it was so long. He just mentions some of the brethren, but we have a pretty long prayer list ourselves. And the thing is, there's so many people that are in need of prayer. You know, there was a song about standing in the need of prayer. Each one of us actually needs Yahweh's blessing. Each one of us actually needs the prayers of the brethren. The devil wants you to focus on yourself. Truly, he does. When we focus on the kingdom of Yahweh, he opens doors to us to do his will and bless many others with the truth. And this is what we want to do. We want to bless many others with the truth. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him and that you continue to do his will.